In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I read this gospel passage Friday at a liturgy, which used the King James version. So I read, "He stinketh," very solemnly. Death is a messy business. So my family and I have been living in the rectory here on campus for more than 5 years now. And we have stories. We have lots of stories. But one of my favorite stories was from very early on in our time here, when we did something very pedestrian. We ordered a pizza. Our pizza was made. Our pizza was driven over to our home, and then it was driven back to the shop. And the pizza delivery person took the pizza back into the shop and said, "Someone else has to deliver this. I'm not going. There's a cemetery there." So this particular driver was terrified of their mortality. And they're not the only one, are they?
No.
That's a thing. It strikes me as amusing, a little bit ironic, that Halloween is a very popular holiday.
Yes.
Right? We love to dress up and to have ghosts and skeletons and all kinds of creepy things, and we think about death and we watch scary movies. And yet, I don't see the same kind of popularity of funerals, which is where we really take a look at death in all its fullness. A particular wise man has said to me more than once that growing old is not for the faint of heart. And as we grow old, there grows in us a sense of our bodily weakness. Some things don't work like they used to. There grows in us a sense of our vulnerability, a growing sense of our mortality. You may have noticed all the readings this morning. They were all very appropriate for Halloween, weren't they? Right, our first reading was about a pile of bones, and they became skeletons, and they came back to life. Is that not a movie plot? Our second reading talked about flesh and the spirit, ghosts. Our psalm today is one of my favorites. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice." When we're in hard and scary times, we can cry out. The psalm gives us words. And then our gospel reading. Jesus and his friends face mortality. Right? Their friend Lazarus has died, and they're mourning. This is a challenging gospel passage, and one of my least favorite little sets of verses in it is when Jesus hears about Lazarus' death. What does he say? He says, quote, "This illness does not lead to death, but rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. So Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Jesus planned to heal Lazarus. This is what was going to happen. Jesus already knew. Jesus heard the prayers that were uttered, asking for his help and his healing work. And Jesus delayed on purpose. Jesus let them suffer. Why would he do a thing like that? Is there ever a good reason to let someone suffer? And of all the reasons there might be, is God's glory a reason for that? That sounds like a very primitive kind of God, doesn't it? A cruel kind of God. And yet, when I stop and think about it, sometimes pain and suffering do lead to better things. Sometimes we choose pain and suffering in the hope of something better, which doesn't make it easy. One topic that's been much on my mind and the mind of several this week is the topic of surgery. Right? What does it take for a person to walk into a hospital and say, okay, let's do this thing? Pull out the scalpel. And I know that recovery is going to be challenging. Or I think about the first time that I engaged with psychotherapy. Right? The first time I went to see a therapist. Because in the kind of months preceding, I had come to grips with this factor in my life, which had a significant influence on how I thought and how I behaved, and I wanted to look at it carefully and consider it. And so I went to see a therapist, and I told her, I'm here to work hard. She said, okay. And every time I went to see her, I left feeling like I'd been in the boxing ring, just beat up, because we were doing good and important work. I think the work of every human being is the work of spiritual growth, right? Becoming the person that we were created to be. And yet there is never growth without challenge. There is never growth without some kind of loss and some kind of pain even, to create the space and the opportunity for that new growth to happen. Right? You don't go to the gym because it's, you know, nice and pleasant and you'll leave feeling soft. You work hard because you're looking to grow. And so when we're faced with these difficult things in life, and especially when we're faced with pain and suffering, as Jesus was faced with in his friends Martha and Mary and Lazarus, then we have choices to make. Occasionally the choice might be, do you want to be comfortable for a little while, or do you want to be cancer-free? Right? Do you want to, you know, just kind of go along and be okay, or do you want a joint that actually works? Right? We make these choices, and it's not that there's a wrong choice and a right choice, but they are opportunities to engage our values, to discern what makes sense in our life in this season, and to make choices, sometimes choices that will lead in the short term to difficulty and pain. The Apostle Thomas, our patron saint, often gets such a bad reputation, right? Yeah. Doubting Thomas. Who would name a church after a doubter? Indeed. And yet, I'll insist that you don't have faith without doubt. And Thomas shows us the way in some important ways. And here, before that episode of doubting Thomas, here's where we see the kind of person that Thomas is in our passage today. When Jesus is saying, we're going back to Jerusalem, and the disciples are like, are you serious? And Jesus says, yeah, we're going to do this. Talk about walking into pain. And then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Those are words of faith. Those are words of discipleship. We're going to follow Jesus. We see where it's going, and we're going to follow Jesus, that we may die with him. In a lot of ways, this is the whole point of Christianity. This is the point of faith. This is the point of Lent. It is to build in us the capacity to follow Jesus. To build in us the ability, the habits, the way of living that follows Jesus. And, you know, the truth about Christianity, I believe, is that God is not a therapist. Right? God is not just kind of rounding the corners and polishing up a little bit here and there. Right? God has a much more radical purpose, and that is the purpose of resurrection. God takes things that are dead and makes them alive again. And so Christianity teaches us how to die. Christianity teaches us how to surrender our hopes, how to release our little bits of power, and instead become ready to receive God's gift of life. This is what we heard in all of our scriptures today, as the bones came back to life, as flesh and spirit were contrasted, and as Lazarus was raised from the dead, just as spring comes after winter, just after Easter comes after Lent, so also life follows death. That's how God works, from start to finish. And so the work of the church, the work of Christianity, the work of faith, the work of the prayers that we say together week in and week out, this work is to give us the tools, to give us the practices, to give us the companions, so that we too, along with Thomas and the other apostles, can follow Jesus, so that we might die with him and also live with him. We are learning to live as the apostles lived, not seeking out pain. I'm not one to say that, oh, God caused this for a reason. There's plenty of pain in the world without God having to cause any of it. But we do see in Scripture how God takes pain and redeems it. God does something good out of what is evil. And so Jesus showed us that even the pain and the mortality that we don't want to face, those are the very things that often help us to find that path to life. And this is why the cemetery is not scary for us. When we go out to the cemetery, it's not zombies and scary creatures. Those are our friends. Those are our families. Those are our loved ones. Those are our companions in the faith. Except now we know that they have a bigger perspective than we do. Now they gaze on the face of God, even as they continue to surround us as the great cloud of witnesses, encouraging us along the way. And so that cemetery becomes a place where we are surrounded by friends. That is the least scary place. These are the people who gave to us St. Thomas. They built these buildings with their hands. They passed along the faith to us in their lives and in their teaching and in their singing and in their praying and in their giving and their serving and all the things that they did and that we continue to carry on as the tradition they handed down to us, the things that they taught us to do. They have led us the way in life, and they have led us the way in death. May God give us the courage to follow our patron, St. Thomas, who said, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." St. Thomas, who taught us, along with many of our friends long past, that death and sorrow and pain, these things are temporary. But we can use them to learn what it means to follow Jesus, to learn what it means to pass through the cross, to learn what it means to come to eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.